The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday, April 4th, final hour together. So let's see what we're going to make of it. There's some stuff I haven't gotten to yet. This is where we explore that. And there's probably stuff that you haven't gotten to yet because you haven't called me yet. And you may do so at 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. That is also the ViaScan of Las Colinas text line. You can get a hold of us anytime there as well. And a bunch of folks are today. I'll explore some of the thoughts left in brief there on the text line here in just a bit. I mentioned as the last hour was closing that when people show you what they are, believe them. And when Mayor Pete turned Secretary Pete, but no matter where that might be, incompetent Pete, he actually might have been a pretty good mayor of South Bend. In fact, I'll give him credit for that. Everybody in South Bend tended to like him. But making him Secretary of Transportation, what? How's that working out for everybody? Part of the assessment of that is what he does in a job, and the other part of it is what he threatens to do with radical ideology. And this is where we get just a moment of a Secretary Pete quote from yesterday about electric vehicles. I've said 37 times, I'm not anti-electric car. It's like they're trying to make me hate them, though. I'm not. It's lovely. It's cool. I'll tell you what, you know what EVs are? They are an affectation plaything for people with a lot of money. And by the way, you know, when you have a lot of money, you get to have some affectation plaything. So that's not against wealth. It's not against EVs. Teslas are cool. You know, the Rivians, the Lucids, oh, whatever. Well, first of all, those are the crazy expensive ones. That's why money is a factor. I mean, I know there are some lower cost, you know, electric options for stuff. And knock yourself out if that's what you want to do. I don't care. I never will. I love my internal combustion engine. I will never have a recharge anxiety, at least not in that way. No. Now, and again, probably a good time for me to say, if you got just a garage full of electric vehicles and you don't ever have to drive more than a couple hundred miles and just knock yourself out, that's great. That, you know, that's called I worship at the altar of your choice. Freedom of choice. Marketplace decision making. We don't have government like that right now. And Joe Biden's America, and again, in the leftist mindset, and this is true of so many things. The conservative says, I'm going to own whatever kind of vehicle I want to own, and you own whatever you want. The leftist says, you must own what we want. The conservative says, if there's a show you don't like, don't watch it. The left says, we must cancel and destroy the shows that we don't like. The conservative says, I'm going to vote for, you vote for whoever you want to vote for. Today's leftist in this election year says, we're going to remove your choice of who you want to vote for. Are you noticing a pattern? And part of this pattern with regard to electric vehicle tyranny, which is what we have now, and I think a bigger deal ought to be made out of this. I mean, so many things are about the border, which they should be. So many things are about, you know, the economy, which it absolutely should be. But there are a whole bunch of issues where even non-ideological folks, independent voters, crossover voters, whatever, Nobody wants to be told that you've got to buy some stupid electric vehicle. Nobody's got to be told that you have to. And yet, here's Secretary Pete.
Let's be clear that the automotive sector is moving toward EVs, and we can't pretend otherwise. Sometimes when these debates happen, I feel like it's the early 2000s, and I'm talking to some people who think that we can just have landline phones for...
What? What? Landline phones? First of all, if you did want to be a little bit of a Luddite and keep your landline phone forever and not even do a cell, government never mocked you and told you you were a terrible person for it or hated on you or tried to destroy your choice. That is what they're doing with EVs.
The reality is that the automotive sector is moving toward EVs, and the U.S. can either fall behind China.
Fall behind. Ooh, the Chinese bugaboo. Ooh, we don't want to fall behind China. I don't care what kind of cars China makes. I do not care. Let them make whatever kind of cars they want to make. But let American automakers, the American auto the industry and taste is not moving toward EVs. Are there more now than there were 10 years ago? Yeah. Are the percentages growing in terms of more people as a function of percentage? No, that is falling. There's always, in a lot of new technology, there's the first acquisition, affectation, curiosity, shiny new toy sort of effect where people go, ooh, electric car, don't need gas. Ooh, that's awesome. And I think everybody's done that. And everybody that wants one has one. And some more people are going to get them. And that's great. And I will never do anything or want anything to impede your path toward an electric vehicle. But I will be damned, excuse me, if I will have government subsidizing the choices of others, prodding me away from my chosen choice, or as you have out in stupid California, some pledge on the table that says we're just not even really going to have gas-powered cars for sale within a couple of decades. That's not America. So again, Secretary Pete.
The reality is that the automotive sector is moving toward EVs, and the U.S. can either fall behind China or we can claim the lead. President Biden wants to make sure that those EVs are made in America.
Lovely. I love EVs made in America. I love all kinds of things made in America. But these are people who are going to punish you. You will be punished and mocked and who knows what if you dare to maintain your preference for a car that actually uses gas. All right. My weird Twitter go-round with a reporter. The reporter's name is Edward McKinley. And he writes for the Houston Chronicle. Oh, hang on. Interesting. I guess the Houston Chronicle and the San Antonio Express News. So he's got both of those gigs. Good for him. That's great. Here's what got my attention. The subject matter is down in Texas Congressional District 23, where Tony Gonzalez is a Republican who is actually serious about the border. So that's good. Tony disappointed some conservatives by being a little too friendly towards so-called bipartisan gun measures post-Uvalde. Okay, so there's some the door was open for someone to run against him from the right, especially on Second Amendment issues. So along comes a guy named Brandon Herrera. He is 28. He's a YouTuber. He's kind of mouthy, kind of funny sometimes. Decidedly conservative on a lot of things, especially guns. God bless him for that. So that race is underway. And it's funny because Tony Gonzalez, listen, what kind of Republican are you going to get in 23? I mean, that we had Will Hurd there for a while before he lost his mind in a fit of Trump hatred. So, I mean, I don't think, you know, you're not going to get Louie Gohmert in that district. Tony Gonzalez is a serious congressman, gets a lot done. He's good on the border, a little soft on guns for me. But anyway, a lot of people are very stoked about young Mr. Herrera. So as a YouTuber, what does that mean you have a lot of? Videos. One of the videos is Brandon Herrera And one of his videos apparently involve jacking around with a whole lot of guns, big guns, small guns. Look at this gun. We're going to play with it. We're going to shoot stuff with it. And some of them are historic. And some of them, one of them in one particular video was one that was a particular favored firearm during World War II of the Germans. Okay, you can sense where this is going. So in one, and he basically says, hey, this was Hitler's, ghetto blaster. And so again, with more tongue in cheek, and I think at one point he's goose stepping, that's never a good idea. But again, you can like or not like this guy stylistically, but here was the problem. Follow along here. San Antonio Express News runs a story, and the headline on Twitter is, Texas congressional candidate Brandon Herrera posted video with Nazi imagery and jokes. Cha, 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 cha. Nazi imagery and jokes. What kind of Nick Fuentes nonsense is this? Good Lord, what an execrable human being. This must be Nazi imagery. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. So this was a blatantly, intentionally misleading headline. Texas congressional candidate Brandon Herrera posts a video with Nazi imagery and jokes. An obvious attempt to smear Brandon Herrera as an anti-Semite. So, to the rescue comes one of those Twitter community notes. You ever see a tweet and then afterward it'll be like, what about this? Most of the time they're good. Adding context, correcting something, pointing something out that the original tweet leaves out. And in this particular case, readers added context they thought people might want to know. Here we go. You ready? Brandon Herrera's primary focus is creating informative content on various historical firearms. Incorporating Nazi imagery is essential when presenting information on this subject. This post appears to be a strategic move to depict a political rival as anti-Semitic. Ta-da. Right? I think that community note is helpful and correct and lends context. Edward McKinley ain't having it. He posts, this community note is crazy and perfectly exemplifies how Twitter has been ruined as a medium to share sober, legitimate news. This promotes political speculation from the fanboys of a YouTuber as if it's in response to an article from a newspaper with a 150-year history. Ooh, Mr. McKinley is exercised. Well, in this particular case, the community note is correct, and the newspaper with a 150-year history tried to smear Mr. Herrera with an absolutely intentional headline, posted video with Nazi imagery and jokes. So I looked at this and I thought, you know, I'm jumping in. I replied, except the community note is accurate and the headline without context is wildly misleading. As to the rivalry issue between Republican candidates and reporters, I will leave to speculation the notion of whether a Democrat candidate would have been similarly stigmatized. Mr. McKinley replies, absolutely not. In the video, he uses a Nazi war song and is shown goose-stepping, going on to preempt criticism by saying only idiots would be offended by it. You can't court controversy and then be surprised by it when it arrives. The article is fair and factual. The article summarizes the content of the video, including Herrera's defense as well as criticism of it. The headline is a description of the factual content of the video. Attempting to paint this as a politically motivated attack is absurd. I replied, one can like or dislike Herrera's politics or his shtick, but a headline about the posting of Nazi imagery obviously draws suspicions of anti-Semitism, which is found nowhere in the video. Such sloppiness and blindness to its effects are why legacy media have a trust crisis. Mr. McKinley replies, A, the article doesn't call him anti-Semitic. It does not, in fact, say Brandon Herrera hates Jews. Good for you, Edward. You're absolutely right. Good for you. B, he posted a public video using a Nazi song jokes and then holding a Nazi gun and goose-stepping. If that draws suspicions of anti-Semitism, how is that the legacy media's fault? Oh, here we go. It's basically one of his buddies. I work with the author of this article, and I know firsthand how much effort and care she puts into being fair and accurate. These attacks are the opposite, and your line of argument here is absurd and Orwellian. And I'm finally done with Mr. Edward McKinley in the following reply. Please. It is the fault of a headline writer who absolutely knows the type of suspicion it will attract. The story does have room to provide contextual details, and it does. The headline does not, and as such, leaves a damaging, sensationalized impression. Tis the season, everybody. Tis the season, especially as the Texas political winds start to blow even further to the right. Thank God. People supposedly on the right, but not enough, and those on the left, are joining hands to smear at every turn real conservatives, real grassroots activists, and people who are really looking for change. So just get ready. 9:24. Have you seen the hot, fresh poll numbers? Has Jill Biden seen the hot, fresh poll numbers? Let me give you seven states that might be a big deal in November, you think? Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, North Carolina, Wisconsin. That quite the row of seven states that are a big deal. In Wisconsin, Trump does not lead. It's tied, 46-46. In the other six, he does lead. Pennsylvania, Trump, 47-44. Michigan, Trump, 48-45. Arizona, Trump, 47-42. Georgia, Trump, 44-43. Nevada, Trump, 48-44. North Carolina, Trump, 49-43. Jill Biden, not worried, on the CBS set the other day. Oh, Nelly.
But when these polls, like...
Oh, no. Here we go. Hang on. Oh, no. Sit tight. So she was on CBS, gathered around a bunch of panel, and here was Jill.
But when these polls, like the Wall Street Journal one, land in the White House, and he's losing in all the battleground states...
No, he's not losing in all the battleground states. He's coming up, and he's even or doing better. So, You know what? Once people start to focus in and they see their two choices, It's obvious that Joe will win this election.
It's obvious. So if Trump is ahead, y'all are crazy. Y'all are stupid. Once you realize his awesomeness, you'll come around. Okay, go with that. I'm going with this. Let's hop into the newsroom. 9:31. Mark Davis. Here's Nikki Whaley. All right, I got a little story for you. This past weekend, Lisa and I were looking for, like, what to do. And at Harvest Hall, right by the Hotel Vin in downtown Grapevine, they had a tribute band. The bar was set high as we walked in. The band is called Strange Magic, a tribute to Jeff Lynne and the Electric Light Orchestra. Uh-oh. Don't mess this one up. I have good news. Not only did they crank out all the hits like Evil Woman and, you know, Don't Bring Me Down, had a couple of deep cuts like Rock Aria from New World Record, and this... The 10538 Overture. And it's interesting because you got a guy on the piano who's kind of your MC, a guy on guitar, and they all have big Jeff Lynne sunglasses and poodle wigs. And I got to tell you, if you're going to be an ELO cover band, you got to have the Jeff Lynne vocals. You got to have some sweet instrumentation. And they absolutely did. It's like 7-8 total people in the band. And you know what you've gots to have is some strings. You got to have somebody be Bev Bevan and Mick Kaminsky. And they have two young ladies, one on the cello, one on the violin. And they are awesome. I mean, you got to have that for like Showdown. You got to have that for, well, a whole lot of ELO stuff. So the reason I tell you this, number one, is not just to throw them some love, but they will be at Legacy Hall in Plano. And that that food court on steroids that has a concert space. And I think it's 2 weeks from now. So just go on the 18th. So check them out. They're very, very good. Strange Magic, the ELO cover band. All righty. Speaking of cover, it's time for our daily Rashee Rice rec update. I asked earlier, would you go to jail if you were involved in a street race that could have killed several people and then left the scene? Would you get special dispensation for a first offense, or would at some point would iron bars slam behind you? On the ViaScan of Las Colinas text line, opinions differ. Some say absolutely, and Rashee Rice is going to get to skate on this. He'll get to open his massive checkbook, which he has earned, good for him, and be able to make these people go away from any civil litigation that may await. Some of the folks whom he hurt in that crash are going to totally try to turn this into a lottery ticket, and I don't particularly blame them. Anyway, so what does accepting responsibility mean? Teresa Woodard had the latest last night on Channel 8.
According to DPD sources, Rashee Rice told police today he was driving one of the cars involved in the crash, the Lamborghini. And sources also say charges are expected.
In a signed statement posted on Instagram Wednesday, Kansas City Chief Rashee Rice said he took full responsibility for Saturday's crash. He said he sincerely apologizes, but he said a lot more to police, according to sources. Those sources tell WFAA Rashee Rice admitted he was driving the Lamborghini, caught on video speeding and causing this chain reaction crash. The Corvette involved is also registered to Rice. Everyone inside those cars left the scene.
All right, so just what was even going on here? So the outfit that rented him the Lamborghini SUV is God bless them, folks call it the classic lifestyle. The economy is actually working well for some people. The folks who can rent a Lamborghini SUV for $1,700 per day. So good for them. That's great. But so he was the renter on that one that he was driving, the owner of the Corvette. So it's like, hey, I'll get in this car that I have rented. I'm going to throw you the keys to this car, which I own, whoever the other person is, I don't even know. And let's just go tearing like jackwagons on a busy weekend up 75. What could possibly go wrong?
Walked away, leaving behind not only the Lamborghini and Corvette, but according to the police report, inside was also marijuana, $16,500 check, a diamond chain, and the playbook for the Kansas City Chiefs. So far, police sources say Rice is the only person who's come forward. Dallas police let him enter and exit DPD headquarters through the back door window.
Isn't that nice? Can't keep those pesky cameras away.
Hey, that's not typical. Sometimes detectives bring people in for questioning that way.
The fact that it's a public figure, right, wrong, or otherwise, that tends to slow things down and impedes the ability to get things done.
Attorney Tennessee Walker represents the husband and wife who were in this white SUV and injured in the crash. He told me it's well past time for everyone responsible to be direct and forthcoming with victims. That's not happening, he said, and he hopes it changes soon.
It's a sad but real consequence of people just not doing the right thing.
Sources also say the exact charges will be determined once there is evidence proving just how extensive everyone's injuries are.
All right, so there we are on that. And it's just, you know, this will, it will recede from the headlines at some point. I'm going to keep just an oblique glance at this to see how the wheels of justice actually turn. And again, I'm not looking for Rashee Rice to be put under the jail. This is going to be an interesting opportunity to see if this very rich, very famous, very privileged, by virtue of both of those attributes, young man, what kind of justice he gets versus what you or I might have gotten. If Ted Cruz is on Hannity, that's worth taking a look at. And what they were examining was just sort of the interesting stretch here of April, where it's like the concrete is starting to set. I mean, it's with November being the concrete, where Election Day is where it all actually happens. It's not last year anymore. It's not late summer or anything, but it is April.
We've got a battle nationally. The polling numbers we're seeing nationally are encouraging, but it's close. It's going to be a battle to see who shows up and who votes. And when it comes to Texas, Chuck Schumer has been explicit. He's coming after Texas. I am his number one target in the entire country. I'm on the ballot. I'm running for re-election. And the Democrats are coming after me. They are going to spend more than $100 million this year. George Soros is already spending millions of dollars in the state of Texas. My opponent, a liberal Democrat named Colin Allred, is outraising Beto O'Rourke, my last opponent, 3-1. They are flooding millions of dollars into Texas. And the reason is simple. You remember my last reelect? It was a 3-point race. I won by 2.6%. And so Chuck Schumer, his view is he floods millions into Texas. He gains 3 points, and that's how they win. And I'll tell you how we're fighting back against it. You've got the Democrat fat cat. You've got big tech. You've got celebrities writing checks to my opponent. We're supported by millions of Americans, millions of conservatives all across this country that go to our website. It's tedcruz.org. They go to tedcruz.org. They give $25 or $50 or $100. That's how we stand up to the George Soroses and the Chuck Schumers and the Mark Zuckerbergs is the $25 and $50 at tedcruz.org.
Ted's no fool. If I'm going to be on Hannity, I'll talk about anything you want, Sean, but I'm sending people to tedcruz.org. As well, he should. And if you've lived here for fewer than 6 years, maybe you aren't quite hip to just how crazy close that lunatic Beto O'Rourke came to beating Ted Cruz. How in the world did that ever happen? How is a question that historians are still asking and political analysts still muse about. Well, I was there for that and for plenty of things before it. And as the years have come and have settled into the tapestry, I think it was this was the beginning of the pipe dream that Democrats had of turning Texas purple. They thought maybe we could actually do it, and they've been proven repeatedly wrong. But that was, I think, one of what they thought was their best shot. And so with the donations and the activism and the yard signs, oh, Lord, the yard signs, the controversy, the talk show controversy of the Beto versus Ted yard signs. In the summer of 2018, I would get constant calls. Mark, I'm scared to death. Ted Cruz is going to lose. Because I live in a kind of a politically mixed neighborhood, and I just see all these Beto yard signs, and I don't see very many Ted Cruz yard signs. And I told people, just relax, please. It's Texas. Cruz is going to win. Yard signs don't win elections. Yeah, but Mark, Cruz doesn't have enough yard signs. He doesn't have enough yard signs. I admittedly underestimated the what you might call the imagery impact of neighborhood after neighborhood, because I'm right. Yard signs don't win elections, but I'll tell you what does win elections. Campaigns that catch the moment of enthusiasm. There was no way Beto O'Rourke was going to beat Ted Cruz, but he came that close, 2.6%. Not because I don't think Cruz was lazy or took things for granted, but they just weren't on it with the kind of diligence and passion and urgency that the O'Rourke campaign had. And his stupid signs were everywhere. I mean, they were blanketed. And I don't just mean in like South Dallas. I mean, there are portions of Highland Park that ought to be fairly Republican in some places. Just Beto, 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 Beto. And people went, whoa, what's going on here? It gave the impression of a Beto wave about to occur. A wave that might break just close enough to the shore that he could take out Ted Cruz. Now, there was no way that was going to happen, and it, in fact, did not happen. But it came way too close. So our job is to make sure that doesn't happen again. All righty. On Laura Ingraham last night, Newt was there and was talking about it. The subject was the degree to which all the Democrats want you to just stop dreaming of things you want. The car you want to drive, owning a home, it's just the era of the Democrat dream killer.
You have to understand that the weird elements of the Democratic Party are now dominant, and they live in a fantasy world. And the only way they can survive is convincing the rest of us that their fantasy's okay. We were struck on Good Friday. We went by McDonald's and picked up filet of fish, which is now about half the size of the filet of fish before Biden. Every time you turn around, you're reminded that these policies of the Biden Democrats do not work. Well, no, not a matter of ideology. You can't build enough electric cars that people want, which is why there are now thousands of cars sitting on lots. The head of Hertz lost his job for buying too many electric cars. The average American is saying, no, I don't want it. And the answer on the weird left is, we don't care. We're going to impose it. We're going to make you do it.
And that's what they do. And that is how Trump wins, by peeling away the Trump base is going to be political conservatism. The Biden base is going to be political liberalism. That's baked in. We get that. But what about the folks who just see things differently? They want a country that works. They want a country that has borders. They want a country that knows how many genders there are. They want a country that has a functioning economy. They want a country that has schools that don't indoctrinate. They want a country that doesn't race bait. They want a country that respects the military and law enforcement. That's how Trump wins. 950. Heartbreaks you embrace. If I was wow. A thief, perhaps I'd rob them. Bob Dylan at Music Hall at Fair Park tonight. Little Tangled Up in Blue, Tambourine Man, Lay Lady Lay. This is Positively 4th Street. Quite the catalog as Bob takes the stage tonight in Dallas. So we'll let him take us out. For our producer Ron DeKay Marlin on the whole Twitter X at producer Ron DeKay, R-O-N-D-A capital K. Thank you, Mr. Matt, for the technical guru skills. Thank you, Nikki Whaley, for news excellence. And thank all of you for hanging out with us tomorrow, the Friday show. Wow, where did the week go? We'll see what's going on, and we'll talk about it. Mike Gallagher is next, right here on 660 AM The Answer. Have a fantastic day. Enjoy this beautiful weather. See you in the morning on 660 AM The Answer. Mark Davis, have a great day.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.